Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we have dedicated 12 shows to discussing the 12 signs of the zodiac as a map leading to spiritual understanding. Each week focuses on the respective sign as an archetype used in the process of an individual becoming divine. Listen this week as we explain the function of Libra with a very specific use of relationship. These shows will explore why divine law cannot function in your experience if you are not conscious of its presence. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and make spirit your primary relationship. So Swami, again, the title of the show is 12 Signs of Spiritual Truth, Part 7. And as in the summary, we did state it was about Libra. So what can you tell us about these 12 signs and how do they relate to spiritual truth?
Well, we're trying to unlock the apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, and we're using the zodiac as a hub to try and give us the sequence of progression, the unfolding of consciousness to an individual as it is revealed to them through experiences. Libra is the midpoint. Libra is the seventh sign of the zodiac, so we're halfway through the zodiac. And we're starting to move in beyond the halfway point. And Libra is symbolized by cardinal air, and the key phrase is I balance. So Libra is now the second air sign that we are encountering. And so it is now the third cardinal sign. The cardinal signs are the creating signs. Those are where we are starting the new seasons based on the position of the sun in the zodiac. And here we're starting to move from springtime to summer to autumn. Being an air sign, the air signs are really associated with the mental function of reason. So we had talked about last week human intelligence, logic, order, and how to organize, categorize the information that we're getting from our five sense mind. The key phrase here for Libra is I balance. And in fact, Libra is symbolized by the scales that are used to represent justice. On one level, they really symbolize and show the law of karma, that what we're putting out is what we're getting back. The way that we are using them in this model is to use the outer to show the inner consciousness. So we're really using them more as a gauge, as a symbol for judgment, but not critical judgment, but in a way of aligning is the outer and the inner of the same dynamic. Do we have that element of purity? Are we able to think, feel, say, and do one and the same thing? And oftentimes that's what seems to happen is that we have a hidden agenda. There is something unconsciously that is really running the show. Whereas in this model, we're really trying to move things into a more conscious level of awareness, which is a better use of cardinal air. Libra being the mental function of reason and also the physical function of flexibility, to have that ability to bend and yield.
When on the last show, we had talked a little bit about judgment and discernment. So it would seem that Libra would be the natural progression, as you were saying, you're describing Libra as the ability to reason. So that, to me, kind of goes hand in hand with what we talked about before.
Yeah, and what we're trying to learn here in this progression of psychological and spiritual development is how to judge righteously. What does that mean, to forsake human thinking for this divine knowing, to understand that life is perfect, harmonious, whole, peaceful, and well, but that it is not a physical universe, that the reality, the truth of reality is that we live in a spiritual universe. And what is being interpreted by our five senses is only an approximation. It is only a concept of that truth of our being, of the perfection of being.
Well, you had talked earlier about the outer and the inner. So I'm assuming you're talking about our outer environment that we see and hear and touch and taste, and our inner environment, meaning our inner consciousness or the part of us that is the spiritual aspect.
Yeah. And what we're basically trying to do is connect the dots, using your mind as an avenue of awareness for the presence of the perfection of being is very different than when we are living out from forming thoughts and opinions, working with the changing conditions of our own personal mentality.
My question to you is, I'm starting to understand that anything that is in my outer world is a direct reflection of what's going on in my consciousness, my inner world. So I'm at that realization, but I'm coming to the conclusion that it really does take more than that, because even though I have this awareness and this understanding that is the case, you know, I'm still waking up with maybe got a pain in my knee or in my back. So there's still something in my consciousness that's going on. So what do I do to try to change what's in my consciousness?
Yeah, that's what I think we're really trying to get at, is that there are different modes of thought. As we sometimes move from being emotional reactive to external circumstances and situations, and then we move into human thinking. And that seems like it's giving us a much better return, but it's not the end all or the be all. And then as we even start to get out from that personal sense of I, and we start to identify with a broader sense of awareness, we find that we're in a cosmic consciousness, the collective consciousness, but we're still under this law of karma. And that's quite a bit that we have to resolve and come out of. That's why we have the practices that we enlist in Kriya Yoga. And again, practice only becomes perfect if practice is perfect. So in other words, if we are switching through the lower mind, the mid mind, and what's called the higher mind, we're still under the law of karma. And at the very best we can do is change finite bad to finite good. But if we can start to understand divine mind, the presence of the one divine spirit in this universe, then we will rise above karma. The leverage we get as we start to move beyond the testimony of our senses will start to give us a better understanding of how things are really working. And then from that broader sense of awareness, you should start to see a completely different external experience. But like we have been saying, that divine law cannot function in your experience if you are not conscious of its presence. And between the human consciousness and the divine consciousness, there is also this cosmic mind, this world mind. And the interesting thing about it is that it is the imitation of divine mind. It doesn't have the power of divine mind, it has the appearance of it. And it's very difficult to distinguish between divine mind and the world mind, especially if you have not, and I like what Mary Baker Eddy says, felt ye the power of the word. It's really not until you experience the presence of divine mind and the power of the spirit do you really know what it's going to be.
Now, I'm going to ask you to give us a further explanation about the scales of justice. And you said that they can sometimes show the law of karma. Can you just give us a further explanation about that?
Yeah, karma is the perfect accountant. It is the law of matter. And what we put out is what we get back. So for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. Now, the thing about that is that this law only works in the dimensions of reality that are visible and tangible, or invisible but tangible. It works with particles and waves. Now, as we move beyond the visible and tangible and the invisible and tangible, and we move into the realm of spirit, the invisible, intangible presence of spirit, then you rise above that law. Spiritual law is absolute goodness, absolute life, eternal life. It has a very different return on your effort. And if you are conscious of it, then you can activate it in your experience. But a lot of us, we don't even know that it exists. Most of us are confusing what is invisible but tangible for spirit. And that's what we call in yoga avidya. We're still mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We're trying to make it work without understanding the components that activate it.
So I think what you're saying is that we're trying to balance the good and the bad, and we're trying to find this balance between mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing that we have to start to understand, that most of us are trying to balance matter, mind, and spirit. But in reality, the revelation of it is that all is spirit. And if there is matter and mind, then you are still in a divided consciousness. And the divided consciousness really pulls you out of the unified state. And now you're working with the law of karma, a belief in two powers. If you start to use this scale just to measure what is my level of consciousness, what is my degree of awareness, based on the testimony of your senses. Because you cannot be in spiritual identity and experience discord, sickness, suffering, lack, poverty. These are not divine qualities. Now, when you're starting to use that as your barometer, I find it to be much more helpful than just trying to practice something and do it religiously with dedication and devotion, but not getting the return. And this is what we're finding, is that a lot of us are basically still unconscious to God, unconscious to the very God that we think we're worshiping, and we're not under the protection of divine law as a result.
Well, I think this is a good spot in our show to break to hear a word from our sponsors, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, while we've been talking during the first half of the show, I was thinking about the phrase balance, and then I was also thinking about the saying that people say, moderation, how they use the term moderation. Well, only in moderation, or you can do this in moderation. So how can we take the lessons of Libra, balance, and apply it to moderation?
Yeah, again, we're working in a completely different model here. Moderation, I think, comes under the old human belief system. It's old theology. Anything in moderation, but in reality, it is purity, purification that we're seeking here in order to achieve the higher states of consciousness that we want to work out of. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says when she says that you can't weigh the material in with the spiritual, that it's a mutually exclusive thing. But you can use the testimony of your senses to help you gauge if you are in that right consciousness. Because like we were saying, most of us are happy being a good human. And we think we're going to get rewarded for that behavior. But it really won't play out like that. That we either become divine or we are in the law of karma. And there really isn't any middle ground on that. Now, as you are starting to move out of the law of karma, that unfolds to us in a progression. But then once we have achieved that level of consciousness that we are no longer under the law of karma, then we are under the government of the divine. And so the same instrument, the scale, is used in a very different way. You're not just weighing the good against the bad, and you're not really just trying to sustain or experience a better human experience. You are actually trying to accept a life that is not going to expire. You are trying to accept your own spiritual identity. In the framework of doing this, Libra is really associated with relationship. In fact, it rules things like partnerships and marriage and anything that has to do with what we call the other. Because what surrounds us is within us. Using our relationships is a great arena to help us understand how we perceive ourselves. So in other words, if I think that I am spiritual and I'm looking out there and I'm seeing all of these evil people, all of these evil circumstances and situations, something's wrong with the picture. It's not proving out scientifically. Now, as I start to change my identity, my external experience must reflect my inner subjective state.
Well, I think we should spend some time, in, like we have in other shows, and talk about The Labors of Hercules by Alice Bailey. So what can you tell us about Libra?
Yeah, what she uses in her book, The Labors of Hercules, is the capture of the Hermanthian boar. Again, it's another labor, and most of them do have different facets to them, different components that make up the actual labor. And this test, the test of friendship and courage, is shown. Along the way, he meets Pholos, the centaur. They drink a cask of wine, and he kills his friends, in quotes, then goes on to capture the boar, and he walks it down the mountain.
And so what lesson do we learn from that?
Well, again, I think the lesson of friendship, courage are the words that she uses. And the concept of killing friends is really a mythological way of demonstrating or showing the importance of putting off the what they call in the Bible the old man. We have to give up a personal sense of self. We must give up this personal sense of I. And in the process of nothingizing this me, then you allow the presence of the one divine life to move into a position where it can now take over the government of your being. But you can have the one and me. You can have one divine power, one divine life, and me. And so once we start to give up this personal sense of I, it really changes everything. When you now move into spiritual identity, when spirit becomes your primary relationship, and you are living out from the understanding of the oneness, then first of all, there is never any opposition. There is only one power in this universe, and it is the power of absolute love, absolute harmony, absolute truth. But in order for us to get there, we must give up this concept of who we are, this false belief that I am a material, mortal, corporeal being.
So I understand that the personal sense of I is how I think of myself in the physical world. So I want to try to let go of that and then try to attune myself to the I of my being, the God that is within myself, and then connect that with the godliness that is everywhere surrounding me.
Right. And in Kriya Yoga, we call that namaste. That if all of a sudden you are starting to see that that's not a person out there before me, but that is the one divine life revealing itself as a particular person, that little shift in your identity, that namaste, that I bow to the divinity within, gives you a different platform that you live out from. What it does is it starts to move you away from reacting to the appearance of what is being reported in your five senses. And you're starting to cultivate spiritual sense. You're starting to see that what is invisible and intangible is more real than what is visible and tangible.
Just reminded me of a story that I had heard in a lecture about a gentleman who lost his baggage, and then how he had to, in his meditation, he had come to the realization that, well, there is no such thing as baggage, because he had to put himself in a spiritual way of thinking.
Right. And that translating of things back into spirit is a great exercise that you can start to work with, and starting to see that matter is only a concept, an appearance of this perfection of being. And then the more we get out of the way, the more the interference pattern that comes with our forming thoughts and opinions, and our mind becomes an avenue of awareness for the function of this divine mind, then it really starts to change the external image. But you're changing how you think dramatically.
So if I could just ask for your advice in a real life situation. So I'm in my car and I'm commuting home and there's a lot of traffic, and you know, almost to the point where the highway has become a parking lot. My five sense mind tells me that I'm in traffic because I can see it around me and the car is not moving. And what is the progression from noticing that, being in that, and then saying and believing that, well, this isn't real. This is just a manifestation of what's going on in my consciousness. So how do I fix that?
Well, again, by the recognition that I am not in my car, I am in divine consciousness. And rest in the peace of having all that is needed provided for you, rather than reacting to something mentally. And moving out from the presence of this divine love that is providing you with everything that you need. You're in the safety of a car. And then as you start to abide in that peace, you start to relax into it and you let it uncover itself. But it's not traffic. It is just divine life revealing itself to you as this circumstance. But that simple adjustment in your perception will start to change the experience.
So in the previous show, Swami, we've been talking about the constellations of each sign. So what can you tell us about the constellations of Libra?
Alice Bailey uses the Southern Cross, the narrow razor edge path to the divine, as the first constellation. The second one is Lupus, the wolf, symbol for the initiate. And the third one is Corona, the crown.
So when you're talking about the Southern Cross, you said narrow razor edge path to the divine. What does that exactly mean? Why is it narrow, and what does she mean by razor edge?
The metaphor of the razor is that a razor is very sharp. If you were standing on a razor, you wouldn't have much to stand on. And so I think that's basically the way they're using it.
So if you wanted our listeners to have a takeaway about Libra and the major theme, what would that be for Libra?
Yeah, I think the major theme for Libra is harmony. There is the harmony that can become discord, and then there is absolute harmony. And that's what we were talking about, the razor's edge, to move beyond the law of karma and move into the divine law of life, absolute goodness, absolute love, eternal life. That's a very different thing than the life that can end up in a grave.
And with that, I think we're going to close down our program for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Three quarters of the way down on that homepage, you'll see a section titled Swami Says Recent Posts. And you'll see a list of Blog Talk Radio shows listed there. You can click on to continue your learning experiences. And don't forget, I want to remind you about Swami has a free webinar you can also access from the website under online classes, and that's held Wednesdays at noon. And also, jump on Facebook and see our Facebook Live episode we do every Wednesday at 5 p.m. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to establish a primary relationship with the presence of the divine. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.